for our meditation. Let me read few words from the gospel portion which we have today heard. The gospel according to St. Luke chapter 3. Verses 7 to 9. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Let us pray. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, we gathered in your presence for worship and meditate your way. Help us to understand what you speak to us through the word. Let the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, O Rock and Redeemer. Amen. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, called the people for a change of heart. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bear fruit that befits repentance." His baptism of repentance was an external sign of internal repentance. The verses 7 to 9 explain that repentance will help you escape ruin. Verse 7, "Then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come?'" Some people were coming out to John to be baptized by John, but they had not repented of anything. They were coming because this was the religious experience of the day. But John says, "Then your religious rulers have not repented. You just want to appear holy. You just want everybody to think you are righteous. And so here you are to get baptized." This is the height of the religious hypocrisy. He calls them a brood of vipers. So he goes on to tell them that true repentance requires results. Verse 8 says, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." The true repentance requires fruit. It means actual changes in attitude and actions. But beyond this, John says in the last half of verse 8 that true repentance requires a genuine relationship with God. "Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you, that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones.
The Jews believed that the Israelites were the chosen people of God. When they say, "We have Abraham as our father," they are making a claim to being the elect nation of God, the chosen nation. John responds in verse 8 by saying, "That is rubbish. Don't stand on the goodness of Abraham. Don't think you will escape punishment because you are an Israelite." He says, if God wants to, he is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Being the elect of God means that God has chosen us to accomplish his purpose in this world. But if we refuse to do his will, he will turn to other people. If you fail to do what God wants you to do, he will cut you off and raise up somebody else to do it. That is what John is telling the Jewish people here. Paul says much the same thing to us in Romans chapter 11. He says, don't boast about being elect in Christ. Remember, you were grafted in because other branches were cut off. And if the natural branches were cut off, you can be cut off also. Both John and Paul are saying, don't become proud and haughty of your position and doesn't need you to accomplish his will. He wants to accomplish his will through you. But if you resist him, he will turn elsewhere. He can accomplish his will with stones if he wants to. He can graft in new branches if he has to. Here, John tells us that failure to repent brings judgment. Verse 9 says, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. We know from the rest of the New Testament and from the church history that is the exactly happens. The Jews did not repent. They end up rejecting Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And so they get cut off in AD 70, roughly 40 years after the event in Luke chapter 3. Israel was cut down and thrown into the fire. This does not mean hell. The word fire is usually a reference to judgment, not to hell. Sometimes it does refer to judgment in hell, but normally it refers only to temporal judgment on this earth. That is what John speaks of here, and what began to happen to Israel in AD 70 with the destruction of Jerusalem and has continued to go on even until today. John's message to you and I today, if he were here, would be identical to what he told the Jews. He would say, repent of your sins and turn back to God. Do not say to yourselves, oh, we are the bride of Christ. So the question is now, well, what should we then do? If judgment is coming, how can we prepare? Remember Jonah's message to the people, Nineveh? He told them judgment was coming, and they asked, What should we do? What should we change? What do we need to repent of? And they were able to avert the impending judgment. This is the way the people who heard John responded also. They heard John's warning and they asked, what should we do? How would we then live? What changes should be made? What should we repent of? Luke chapter 3, verse 10. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? John tells them to be generous. Verse 11. He answered and said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. He turns and says the same thing to the tax collectors when they ask in Luke chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. The tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? John tells the tax collectors to be honest. And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? John's answer to them is to be content. Verse 14b says, do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely and be content with your wages. Let me conclude. So let us confess ourselves in front of our Almighty God. And give up our greed and be generous and be honest and be content. Let us pray.